When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on.
How you guys doing? You want to go get a beer or something? Oh, look at these faces.
It's hey.
I just came for Steph. That's it.
It's ew. Hey,
I just wanted to see Steph.
It's
been a minute. We're glad that you're on here because we
thanks.
You know, we had to have you on. We're talking about Better Off Dead.
But I know.
Just away.
Well, all the movies that you guys have been doing trivia on, I mean, all of them. I'm like, well, Chad,
I know.
Talk about that.
Is your Facebook page private or is it something anybody can join? Because I want you to plug it. It's a fun website or fun Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Dustin would know better than me. He helped me set it up.
It's public. Yeah, it's public. It? Anybody can sign up or follow it.
I gotta start posting stuff on that more.
That's fun. And people like it. I like it.
Post the clip of this. Yeah. This will be one way to get it going.
I'll do that in 2 seconds. Yeah,
it will be. Yeah.
I mean, if people don't know what we're talking about, I enlisted Dustin to help me start a Facebook page called Sorry Your Mom Blew Up, Ricky, and we just post all kinds of 80s movie lines and GIFs and scenes and stuff.
Yeah, go quote for quote for like... Yep. You have like a 50-page thread sometimes just going back and forth.
That's fun. Our generation loves that shit because we're the first generation to memorize all that crap. Well, maybe some people, but we have all those great quotable movies from the 70s and 80s that we love. So
don't quote Dr. Detroit in there, though, or you get Facebook jail.
That happened. Did you get it twice or just once?
That was like strike two or something.
I felt so bad. And then I was posting stuff for Jeff in his stead.
Well, it's 1985. This movie comes out. It's the Savage Steve Holland classic, Better Off Dead.
Yes, that is right.
Which I did not realize, basically based on a true story. This was Steve Holland's life. Yeah.
Yeah.
He tried to make the ski team at his high school.
Yep.
He was dumped by his girlfriend. He felt suicidal. All of those things happened. He was even actually harassed by a paper boy for money.
Yes. And he did a short film, I think, when he was a little kid. And what's the name of that film that he did as a little kid? What is it called? My 11-year birthday party. Henry Winkler saw it, liked it so much that he gave him an office at Paramount to write the film. And he wrote the film.
No way. That sounds familiar. What else has Steve Holland done? I mean, he's done
One Crazy Summer.
One Crazy Summer. Okay. The cat cartoon. What's that cartoon called? The cat. Eat the cat.
Yeah, Eat the Cat.
He did the Zonks on the original Pressure Luck too.
Really?
Yeah.
The whammy.
He did that animation?
Yeah.
So just like in One Crazy Summer, he was like Cusack with being an animator, right?
Yep.
What's the name of the thing that in I Think You Should Leave that's based on Whammy? A chunky, or is it
a chunky?
Is that what it is?
A chunky, yeah.
I never watched all of those. Should I go back and watch all those?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, before we talk too much about the movie, let's do the trivia, because you're going to get, we'll have too many answers come up before I do the trivia, and then it'll blow the whole fucking thing.
All right.
So I haven't done any research for what I know in my head.
Pure snow! It's everywhere! Idea what the street value of this mountain is?
$2. Cash.
Instead, he uses it as a chance to put his testicles all over me.
Tentacles. NT. Tentacles.
Is he your main wiener man?
I'm right behind you, buddy.
Man. Now that's a real shame when folks be throwing away a perfectly good white boy like that.
You should not upset Mother.
You stupid bonehead, I'm going to activate your dental.
God bless him.
Mrs. Smith, no, wait.
Gee, I'm real sorry your mom blew up, Ricky.
So if you've been keeping up with it, you know, I'm going to read the question, then three answers. Wait till I get all three answers out, and then the first person that says their name, you can answer it. Make a guess.
All right.
And no
hey, can I be Steve or Pete or something?
Yeah, you can be somebody with one syllable.
Syllable?
Like, yeah, because we have two syllables, so yeah, it takes a little more to get that out.
I look like Pete. Pete's good.
All right.
What did you
say? All right.
I said Pat. Pat.
Yeah. Pat. I'll be Pat.
You can be a study in moppishness.
All right, here we go.
Go for it.
All right. Number one, what is the name of the mountain Lane Meyer has to ski in order to qualify for the Glendale High School ski team?
Jeff.
Is it? The bigger question.
Is Jeff. It
Mount Morgan, Mount Brody, or Mount Darwin?
Tim.
Yes.
Mount Brody.
That's right.
Wow. Did you really know that, or did you just guess?
No, I knew it.
Really? Mount Brody?
I remembered it when she said it.
Bonus question for anybody. See that Jeff was going to blow it for everybody.
Jeff was going to say Mount Brody?
He just said Jeff.
All right.
Bonus. According to Uber Dildo Roy Stalin, the runtime must be under this many seconds in order to qualify.
Ira.
Yes.
8.
No.
Yeah, 60.
No.
I don't know the answer to this.
Anybody else? You want to guess, Dustin?
That's a tough one.
No.
58 seconds.
Okay, listen up. Your running time should be under 58 seconds to even be considered for the team.
Oh, should
be under 58 seconds. Okay.
He's skiing on one ski.
Well, because it was under... But then he didn't stop the timer when he was supposed to.
That is true.
Yeah, and they made it go over a minute.
Oh, too bad. Real close. Next.
Because he's a cheap piece of crap. Yeah, he did nail it the first time. What is Lane Meyer's creepy little brother's name? Is it Otter, Badger, or Beaver?
Jeff.
Pete.
It was Jeff.
Badger.
Badger like surprises you can get from cutting the coupons from the boxes.
That's right.
Yeah. But I would have forgotten that if you didn't give me the multiple choice. That was good.
Okay, number three. After dumb bitch Beth dumps Lane, what's the first way he tries to kill himself? Is it carbon monoxide poisoning, hanging, or jumping off a bridge?
Pat, hanging.
That's correct.
Thank you.
A bonus, though. Why does he decide to back out? I mean, his mom knocks him off the step, but he wasn't going to do it. Why does he decide to back out? What does he say?
Jeff, he's never been to New York.
Wait, this is death here. I haven't even been to New York City.
That's right. Okay, so give Jeff the bonus question. Right. Number four. We all know psychotic paperboy Johnny Gasparini is trying to collect $2. But how many papers does he say he delivered for that amount? Is it 30, 20, or 24?
Dustin, 20.
Yes.
Johnny.
4 weeks.
20 papers, that's $2.
That's correct.
Wow. I was going to say 24. Papers. It's $2.
Plus tip.
Plus tip.
Plus tip, yes. Snow and Jello addict Charles DeMar is super pumped about drinking some of his brother's killer eggnog on Christmas Eve. What's the main ingredient? Is it paint thinner, lighter fluid, or turpentine?
Pat.
Oh, that was pretty at the
lighter
same
fluid.
I could be home right now drinking this monster eggnog my brother makes with lighter fluid.
All right, we'll give
lighter
it
fluid.
I'm taking it. I don't
right
care.
Ira got
Pat
it.
I mean, Pat got it.
Pat.
What classic rock song is the mailman, played by the great Taylor Negron?
Oh, yeah.
Listening to on his headphones on his way to deliver the Myers family mail. Is it Inagata DeVita, Whole Lot of Love, or Foxy Lady?
Tim.
Foxy Lady.
Yeah. Was it just, who got it? Was it Tim?
I got it. It was Foxy Lady.
Foxy Lady.
Okay. All right. What bonus question? What's the name of the book he delivers to Badger?
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Go ahead.
How to pick up trashy women.
That's correct, Jeff.
What does he say? He's like, what's a
little, little kid, kid like you doing with like a smut like this?
Your book on how to pick up trashy women came today. What's a little boy like you doing with big boy smut like this?
You guys know this is
what in the name of all that is holy.
His dad.
Yeah.
This is just going to be who gets it the quickest, because I know one of you, I know you guys know the answer to this. Name the, but let me say all three names.
Not bad.
Name the 80s singer actress who showed up in Better Off Dead to sing the titular song at the New Year's Eve dance. Was it B.B. Michaels, E.G. Daily, or T.C. Tugger?
Tim. Elizabeth Daly.
T.C. Tugger.
T.C. Tugger.
T.C. Tugger.
Tim, yes, it was E.G. Daly.
I might use that on my next gig, though.
E.G. Tugger?
The T.C. Tugger band.
It's from, it's from I Think You Should Leave. It's a shirt with the T.C. Tugger.
It has a knob on it, so your shirt gets stuck in your belly. You can pull it.
I couldn't resist. Okay. All right. What popular cartoon character asks Blaine if he can also take Beth out since they've broken up? Is it George Jetson, Yogi Bear, Barney Rubble?
Jeff.
Tim.
It was Jeff.
Barney Rubble.
Hey there, Elaine. I know this is a little awkward, me being a cartoon and all. I was just wondering how you'd feel if I took out Beth.
That is right. It was Barney Rubble. Oh, we're almost done. Okay. Now, Ira, I feel like you got an advantage on this because you're a car guy. What kind of car are the Korean brothers driving? Is it a Chevy Nova, a Ford Falcon, or a Dodge Dart?
Jeff.
Pat. Oh.
Yes, Jeff.
Ford Falcon.
The once great champ, now a study in muffishness.
That's correct.
Mm. It was a station wagon, though, right? Was it?
No, that was.
Oh, no. Lane was
Lane's
driving
car.
A station
wagon. Lane's car.
Lane had a country wagon. Squire.
Car is that's not right. A boy.
Get out of the car.
I'm going to
act the windshield wipers on. Yeah.
I do have a bonus question, though. What year is Lane's badass super sport Camaro? What year is it?
Pat, 68.
Yes. Jeff, 97.
Oh.
Yes, Jeff. What did you look at? Were you looking at a paper?
No.
Jeff, were you looking at a paper? I feel like Jeff was cheating. Yes, it is a 67.
Good job, Jeff.
Anyway, and this is the last question. What Howard Jones song is playing during the montage when Lane and Monique are fixing his Camaro? Is it What Is Love, Like to Get to Know You Well, or Things Can Only Get Better?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to get to know you well.
That's correct. Let's get to know you well.
He guessed. You guessed.
No, I knew it was either that or, second, or the third one, but I had to visualize the scene.
All right, who won, Tim?
Jeff won 6 points. Tim had 4. Pat had 2, and Dustin had 1, and I'm disappointed because Dustin usually runs the board.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, you know? I mean, you got to get in there with the names.
Got to say the whole his whole name, too.
Yeah, that's what adds a little spice to it. That's the flavor. But anyway, I hope you guys had fun doing that. I had a fun time putting them together.
Yeah, and thank you.
I tried to. I only did questions if you had to watch the movie. Like, I didn't steal any questions from anywhere. I didn't get shit off of Wikipedia or any of that crap.
Oh, good.
So I sat there and watched the movie and made questions as I watched the fucking movie.
That's impressive.
That's the sweat that I put into this.
I couldn't. You have to pay. You have to pay to get the Showtime on Paramount Plus. You have to pay more money. So I found somebody that I know downloaded a torrent of it and then gave it to me on a disc.
Who would do such a thing?
Fire, so I don't want to besmirch them with their dick.
It was better off stolen.
Yeah.
All right. Now. All right, now let's recite the movie line by line.
Okay.
Starting with the opening credits.
Ira, you do the geometry problem.
Yes. All right. 1985, this movie comes out, directed by Savage Steve Holland, and starring John Cusack as Lane Meyer, Curtis Armstrong as Charles DeMar, David Ogden Steers from MASH. And that's pretty much all we know David Ogden Steers from as Al Meyer. And we'll talk. I'm just going to list these people. Kim Darby played Jenny Meyer, the mother. Diane Franklin was Monique Juneau, and she was in a ton of stuff, but she's also in The Last American Virgin. That was a good movie.
I mean,
Dan the Man Schneider played Ricky Smith. He was also head of the class. He also molested a lot of Disney stars.
Apparently.
Allegedly.
Yes. if you Google it, there's all sorts of funny names about Dan Schneider.
The creator.
Yeah. That's what they call him, right? But here's a couple of them. I'll read them to you. These are from 4chan years ago. Dan the Seducer, Dan Teen Better Schneider, Dan Get in the Van Schneider, Dan I've Had Tighter Schneider, Dan the Fart Inhaler Schneider. There's a lot of them. Dan the Overnighter Schneider.
The Overnighter.
Yes. Dan, we got ourselves a Screamer Schneider. Dan, if you have a daughter, better hide her Schneider.
Oh, no. Jeez.
Yes, but he was on head of the class, so let's not knock that. Mrs. Smith was Laura Waterbury. She was great. She's probably the best actress in the whole thing. And she ended up being on soap operas and stuff. Johnny the Paperboy was Damian Slade. And I don't think he did much acting after that, but he did do a lot of other things. I think he ran a treatment center for addicts, and I know that he's on social media and stuff.
He's a photographer now, I think.
Yeah.
One of those other paper boys was what's his face from he was the other little crony in Christmas Story, the little one, Grover Dill. One of the crew that was chasing him in the night.
When you're talking about Dan Schneider, I was just thinking about one of my favorite little scenes in that movie is when he runs out of the dance and he lets his balloon go by accident, and he goes back for a second and he just goes he just keeps walking.
Damian Slade was on top of the car hitting it with the newspaper, he broke the windshield.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
With a newspaper?
Yeah, well, he hit it so hard. Yeah.
Yeah, they had to
said he was very
it.
Method.
Yep. Amanda Weiss played Beth, Lane's ex-girlfriend. She was also Tina Gray in A Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's first victim. Mm-hmm. And she was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but mostly just as a bit player.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Kerber, of course, was Vincent Schiavelli, who was a great character actor. Known for many, many things. Didn't he ask Beth out too, or ask him?
Yeah. He was the first one to ask if he could ask Beth out.
Right.
Right.
You mind if I date Beth.
Rocco, who was the boss at the burger joint, was Chuck Mitchell, who's also a Porky.
Porky, yeah.
Yeah.
Pat Pig.
Yeah. Pat Pig.
Oh, that's why I was Pat. I just put it all together.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yisuk Ri was played by Yuji Okamoto. And of course, we know him from Karate Kid 2 and Cobra Kai.
Yeah, he's great in Cobra Kai.
And overdubbed by the great Rich Little. But I had read or heard someplace, maybe my friend, our friend Matt told me this, that Yuji had mastered that impression, but they went ahead and overdubbed it anyway. Is that true? Does anybody know that?
No, I wouldn't put it past him, though.
Yeah.
For trying to learn the impression.
Yeah, it's just weird. And if he worked so hard and got it, why they got Rich Little?
There was a lot of discussion of things that were told to actors that were going to happen with this movie that never did. That's one of the main reasons why Cusack didn't. Yeah, he didn't want to work with him again. He had to contractually. He sued them. Yeah, to not. But yeah, they told him like you've got one more movie, and this was a month before they started shooting One Crazy Summer. Yeah.
They shot a scene with Diane Franklin where she walks by and waves to him, and they have like a little wink and a nod, but they cut it for that film. Roy Stalin was played by an actor named Aaron Dozier. He quit acting in 1985 and was last known for coaching Boston College's ski team.
So he really was a skier.
I guess so.
I wonder how many times he used that clipboard line.
Who'd like to hold my clipboard? You'll make a fine little helper. What's your name?
Charles DeMar.
Shut up, geek.
And then the last person, of course, we mentioned in the trivia game, school dance singer, was E.G. Daly. Mm. And she was Dottie in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
I always liked her.
And she's in Valley Girl, Streets of Fire. She's the voice of Babe and Babe. And she's done tons of television appearances and voice work. And she did one of the Powerpuff Girls.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't she on Rugrats?
Yeah,
she does Rugrats too.
Yep. Yeah. So, Better Off Dead on Rotten Tomatoes has 77% in the tomato meter, 87% audience score based on 50,000 ratings. So that means people really like it, of course. Tomato meter, people didn't like it when it came out. It got bad reviews.
Really?
Yeah, and yeah, it was a flop. And it was because of the era that it became a hit. You had VHS rental and of course, once it was on HBO and you could record it off of there, I watched it. I think I went and watched it every day for like a month.
Oh, yeah.
Did anybody here see this at the movies? I did not.
No.
No.
Jeff, did you? You would have been 14, 15.
No. It was one of the first movies when we got HBO and cable running through East Tennessee where we live. My grandmother had her VCR. My uncle taped this movie. It was one of the first, you know, movies on her shelf, but he missed the first 3 minutes and started it in. And I must have watched it 100 times growing up, but I was in my mid-20s when I rewatched it for the first time and saw the first 3 minutes. I mean, I had everything else memorized, but I'd never seen the first 3 minutes. But yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so, you know, and you can get a lot of information about the movie if you listen to Curtis Armstrong's book or read it. You know, you could read it. I like to listen to it because he narrates it himself.
Oh, yeah. He does. That must be a great book.
It is, and he talks about his whole career because he was filming Clan of the Cave Bear.
Yeah.
And
with Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, and they're in Canada, and Savage Steve Holland's trying to – he wrote Charles DeMar for Curtis Armstrong and wanted him there. And of course, that's, you know, Risky Business had been out.
Yeah.
So he wanted him to do it. And so they're trying to get a hold of him. He's in Canada. They can't contact him. And then his agent, you know, took the job for less money than he wanted. So, I mean, you can find all this stuff about, but he has some insight in there. And
Lane, I've been going to the school for 6 years. Yes. I'm no dummy.
And then, like we touched about it briefly, the John Cusack there's an interview with him on the Nerdist podcast with Chris Hardwick, and Hardwick kind of, you know, keeps nudging him toward Better Off Dead and some of his older movies, because he can be kind of a douche.
Can he?
Yeah. John, yeah, Cusack, yeah, he can be kind of arrogant.
We saw him on the panel at Dragon Con. He was a dildo.
Yeah, I asked him a kiss-ass question, though, so I knew that he would answer. Remember?
I remember that.
Max. That movie Max,
yeah,
the movie, but yeah, but I asked that specifically. Do you think that's like what we're going through now? I mean, yeah. but I do. I always liked him. I like a lot of the movies that he's been in. And he's a good actor, fine actor. In fact, I kind of, you know, worshipped him a little bit when I was younger. But whatever.
Yeah, Gross Point Blank. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I mean, when Being John Malkovich came out, I think that was the first time I was like, oh yeah, he's really good. Yeah. You know, I mean, who is this guy? I knew him from 80s movies, but you know, here you go with Malkovich. I mean, at the end of the movie, would you have gone with what's her name, the French girl, or would you have gone with Beth?
I would have gone with Monique in a heartbeat.
Beth, yeah,
bitch, banging everybody.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you like that?
Well, I mean, look, she was a bitch and everything, but
she kind of
wasn't she going to leave once her foreign exchange stuff was over?
You were right. Yeah. There's that too.
I think part of it was that before it changed, I think One Crazy Summer was going to have her in it.
Really?
Yeah. Because she's, like I said, they shot a scene with her, but they cut it out of the movie.
Instead of Demi?
Yeah.
Well, I would have been devastated because that's, you know, most of all my good memories from childhood are the last song of the movie on HBO before I went to bed.
Yep.
So that's like all my memories are influenced by that. And the end of the movie, the two of them are sitting on his car in Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. And it's the Rupert Hine does the track Eyes Like Starlight.
Yeah.
You remember that song? Eyes Like Starlight with one look. That's one of those songs where I'll just be like, oh, I'm so all happy. Right. My life's going to turn out good, but it's not. But I thought it might at 12. That's one of those movies.
You're right. That those songs do make an impression. You know, like the one at the end of Breakfast Club and 16 Candles. And, you're right.
Real genius.
The Van Halen song.
Oh, yeah. Here's going back to, Everybody Wants Some.
Everybody Wants Some. That whole scene is just so crazy now.
Well, I found out about that scene. The reason they did the animation is originally a rat got cooked in the fryer and Lane put it on a sandwich. And they shot the scene. And the studio said it would gross out the audience. So they created that animation specifically to cover that scene.
That's weird, isn't it?
And, yeah. And, you know, the scene made the film better because that's just such a weird thing. And, you know,
it is weird. But I think back when we used to watch it, it didn't seem so weird because movies were just like that. But, you know, I thought about that scene recently because somebody posted or whatever. I'm like, hey, that is just really odd in the middle of this movie, you know.
And well, a lot of that movie was groundbreaking in that, you know, the studio wanted, everybody at that time wanted, we want the next Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So you had to have hot girls and you had to have boobs and you had to have this. It didn't have the boobs and it didn't have the nudity. But it didn't have that. And it was a little darker and the humor was a little bit more over your head than a lot of movies. Not saying that Fast Times at Ridgemont High isn't a funny movie or well written or anything, because it is, but there were a lot of teen comedies like Hard Bodies or shit like that. It was just, hey, we're gonna have this and then tits.
This was surreal.
Ski Patrol
Hot Tub.
And then a year later Ferris Bueller comes out a year after the next year after this, and I always thought those two movies, even though they're, you know, the storylines are so crazy in Better Off Dead, that they're very similar as far as Cusack started that, like a narrative of a teenager in his world. And he was the first one. And that movie was the first one of those for the 80s, really. I mean, in that context, kind of like John Hughes did, you know, later on. But it just never received the recognition for it. I mean, we all, looking back on it now, give it the recognition, but it definitely didn't have it at the time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, because all those movies after that just came from the high schoolers' perspectives, you know.
I was looking at this. Go ahead, Steph.
I was just going to say, not everybody loved this movie. I mean, there's a certain sect of people that loved it, like all of us. We all liked it. And I think it was just like, it kind of if you were part of that subculture, right. You were always kind of like an oddball and you liked weird stuff. Like, I remember the first time I saw Natural Born Killers at the movies, I was like, what the fuck is this? This is insane. And yeah. I love it. And the girl that I went with was like, that was fucking horrible. I don't even know what we just sat through.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized you're dumb and I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of like people that like Better Off Dead. You know, you're not stupid. That's why you like it.
I used it as a friend barometer when I was a kid.
Yeah, oh, you did?
Very
if
much
you
so.
Knew lines from it, you
yeah,
know,
if they,
you
yeah, if you could say
person.
A line and they said a line back, we were good. Yeah.
She only speaks French, Roy. She doesn't speak imbecile.
Are you enjoying your stay in our town?
I say, Monique.
Are you?
He puts his testicles all over me.
It's like you said, though, the name of your group, G, sorry your mom blew up, Ricky, but when he delivers that line, the way that he delivers it, too, just the whole visual of it, of Ricky being in the back seat, all hunched up,
right,
trying to be in between the two of them.
Oh, yeah, it's so perfect.
He quickly tries to glaze over the statement by saying, I guess she has to stay away from spicy foods.
For a while.
Go that way really fast. If something gets in your way, turn.
That's great when she does the callback at the end, you know, and says the same thing to him.
Do you think that Curtis Armstrong was a hero for guys like me in the 80s between that role specifically and, of course, Booger in The Nerve? I just worship that dude.
You know, one other scene, though, that was very funny to me, and there was no words in it at all, is when the paper boy, when he went off the side of the mountain on his modded out BMX. Just...
There's something following them.
It's real aardvark fur.
Everybody's going to be wearing one of these this year.
And then the neighbor guy's wearing it when he comes out.
Yeah.
Every time he says, sure is warm.
Yeah.
Like warm. Sure is
warm. Oh my god, and when Lane's unwrapping all of those TV dinners, this one is fried chicken.
Yeah.
And it has mashed potatoes. And I know
you like mashed
and that
potatoes.
Was real too.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, except it wasn't Christmas, it was his birthday. And his mom brought him home two frozen dinners for his birthday. And he was like, this is my life.
I found out this is from IMDb. Japanese American actor Yuji Okamoto was so excited to audition for the role of the Asian brother with the Howard Cosell affectation that he studied every tape of Wide World of Sports so he could practice and do a believable impression. Knowing his character learned English exclusively through sports, he decided to add in an Asian accent to his voice. That's why they ended up going with Rich Little.
He added an Asian accent? What do you mean?
Yeah.
He was supposed to have learned English from Howard Cosell.
I see.
He was doing as an Asian guy, learning English.
How would that have sounded?
He got two inside his head.
Yeah. It would have sounded like something that would get us canceled. So
absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a shame.
More facts about the movie. Lane's little brother, Badger, had no lines the entire film.
True.
Scooter Stevens, right?
Mm-hmm. What happened to him?
He was a kid actor. He did a few things in the 80s, but he just kind of...
He launched a rocket at the end of the thing, didn't you? Don't you remember?
Yeah, he took off in the space shuttle.
Right, that's what happened to him.
He's still cutting coupons out of the back of Captain Crunch.
That was the best.
With trashy women. Yep.
I remember that was my mom liked this movie, I remember. And that was her favorite scene when all the cereal was pouring out of the holes in the
box. Like when Lane almost ate the cat food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. He had it right up.
And the movie ends with the movie's over. You can go home now. That's another thing that's like
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
What are you doing here? Go.
Go. It's over.
That was redone again in Deadpool.
Was it?
Yeah, if you get to the very end of the credits, he does the exact scene, but in the Deadpool mask. He comes out the hallway and the road.
So we should talk about One Crazy Summer sometime. We did talk about it with a little bit with Joel Murray. If we could get him back on, maybe he would talk to us more about it, because that was the next film. And, of course, I don't know what Cusack thought of that film. I don't really think that he hated Better Off Dead. He just thought it should have been darker, and it would. You know, yeah. But again, he's kind of an elitist.
I think Heels is coming back soon for season two, so maybe he'll come on to talk about that, and then we can do One Crazy Summer.
These little factoids, again, these come from IMDb. When Beth shows up at the dance, there's someone behind her wearing Freddy Krueger's sweater. So that's look for when you watch it. And that was put in there. Was, I guess today that would be an Easter egg.
Oh, yeah.
They originally considered Clint Howard for Ricky Smith, but boy, he would have been too old even then.
Yeah. Just as creepy looking, though.
Yeah.
But too little. I mean, Ricky had to be like that, that kind of steamboat look to him.
Right.
Love. The language of love.
Jenny Maya, you really go the... What did she say? Oh, Jenny Maya, you really go to the outer limits.
Yeah, something like
Peru.
That.
Fabulous liqueur.
Yes.
Nice. Elaine comes out, but he's got the tie wrapped around his head, right?
Yes.
He's soaked in gasoline.
The sheet, like, the bedspread, like, wrapped around him.
And like, you know, nobody says a word. He just comes out and sits at the table.
Well, he tosses the primer lid, like, on his dad's shoulder, and his dad's like,
no, the rag.
Figure out where it's coming
the
from.
Rag,
the rag, and his dad is like, oh.
But me, you see a man. What was that song? He opens up the bathroom door, and Lane's got all the Q-tips sticking out of his face. It just closes the door. Man.
This was the first time I ever heard blues. No. The Mannish Child.
Oh, yeah. What a killer.
I didn't know what blues music was, really. I mean, Weird Science. I had seen Weird Science, but that was only these movies did I know anything about blues music. But then I was interested in it, and then I started listening to blues music more.
I think
I
that may
kid.
Have helped me as well. I mean, that scene where he pulls up in the car and it's, it's so badass.
You were like, I'm getting a harmonica. Damn it. Today.
And made a mistake there.
The movie that Cusack was known for prior to Better Off Dead coming out was 16 Candles, and he was credited as Geek Number Two.
Right. Well, you take those ridiculous things off.
Yes. But he had shot a film, right? And it hadn't come out yet. But Henry Winkler liked that movie, and he's the one who suggested that they go with John Cusack.
Really?
The studio was like, nah, we don't know if he could be a lead actor. And, I think it was Henry Winkler and Savage Steve Holland really went to bat, threw a fit until they agreed on him. So
wasn't The Sure Thing a pretty big
The Sure
movie?
Thing? Yeah, it was in the can. It hadn't come out yet.
I see.
I see.
And Henry Winkler was in The Sure Thing.
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah.
And that was the girl in that was the girl that was in Spaceballs. What was
Daphne
her name?
Zuniga.
Daphne Zuniga. Yeah, yeah.
I loved her.
Melrose Place. Joe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
She was the photographer who rode a motorcycle.
If you've never seen Better Off Dead, or you would like to see it again,
why are you listening to this?
Paramount Plus, exactly. If you have Paramount Plus, that's where it's streaming right now, or you could find it elsewhere. You can order it off Amazon, find an old VHS. Maybe you have one in your basement. Jeff, you have all your old VHS tapes, don't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you kept them all.
No.
Just a porn.
He's got VHS tapes, but it's not anything we should be playing on.
Yeah. Better Off Head.
One crazy.
No, there's a. He's got a snuff
crazy
film
Hummer.
Called. He's got a snuff film called Get Her Off Dead.
He has to, like, he tries, and of course she's dead, it doesn't work. So then he has to do the Everybody Wants Some scene and make the Frankenstein. So that's.
And bring her back, yeah.
Well, hey, Ira, do you have anything you want to plug? We got to wrap up, but I appreciate
talk a little about the Portal Pinball too.
Oh yeah,
the only one that's been there.
Does everybody know about that?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you guys going to go out there?
Yes.
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 Yeah, I might bring Gil.
Jeff and I were texting, I don't know, like a month ago, and he's if nobody knows, Jeff and I share a birthday, which is the 17th coming up.
Yeah. Here. By the way, I hope you had a good birthday.
Oh, thank you. Because this is after.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, it was awesome. I texted Jeff and said, what are we doing for our birthdays this year? Which I don't think we've ever done anything together. And just on a whim, I said, let's go to Portal and get a beer because they got a great bar now and everything. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And then what did you say? You just put something out that says, let's have a radio get together.
Let's just invite everybody and let the radios come and stuff. I know that we got a couple radios that live in Ackworth. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you guys been to their old location?
No,
I've never been there at all. Never. Mm-mm.
Okay. So they used to be in Kennesaw. It's a husband and wife that opened the business. I don't know them well, or at all. And I guess they had a bunch of pinball machines in their basement. And then, you know, they know how to work on them too. So both of them, I think, tinker with this stuff and get them, you know, they find vintage stuff and they get them working. But I think they have 40 pinball machines in there and then a bunch of vintage video games, you know, like they had Joust and Off-Road and Missile Command and of course the Galagas and Dig Dugs and all that.
Jeff was awesome at Joust.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, me and I were supposed to
have joust it out.
Off. Yeah.
Joust off.
No, that was a little thing we had going on the side, but
got a little job we'll for play you on there the side. As well.
A little job for you on the side, honey.
Yeah.
So the 24th, right, Jeff?
Yeah, 5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7, and just make sure you're at their new location, which is Ackworth. But if you look it up on Google Maps or their Facebook page, it shows the right address. And they got the Solo and the Carbonite is on refrigerator back there. That's a good.
Jeff, will Pickle come to this?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
He's not into retro video games.
It's a fucking long drive, Jeff.
Ackworth is a haul from where we live.
It's also, I mean, if you can pay, I don't know, I'm not sure of the pricing, but I think it's $10 for an hour. But then if you pay like $20, you can play all day or something. I mean, it's cheap.
And yeah, you don't have to put quarters in the games. They're all rigged, right?
Yeah, no, you don't have to put quarters in. I'll tell you what. The only thing that kind of sucks about that actually is you'll go over to a pinball machine and somebody just left it on like ball four because nobody cares. You know, because back in the day you'd have your quarter and like, I'm playing this thing all the way through, you know, you don't want to waste. And now it's like, I paid for the hour. If I'm getting bored with this, I just leave. So a lot of times you'll go up to a machine and it's just sitting there, you know, on like player three and I'm like, geez.
I'll finish my games. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Remember the Simpsons pinball game and the Terminator pinball game? Pinball games, those are great.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith one. Those are
and
fun.
They have Adam's Family. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. They got the Kiss one?
They don't have the Kiss one, but they got some good newer ones. Like they have the Mandalorian, which is a great one. They got another Star Wars one. Trying to remember. And then, you know, on the backside, they have all these vintage ones going back to like, they got to be like 50s, you know.
Oh, cool.
It's cool as shit to play one of those, you know, just to say you did it and, you know, to hear the actual bells ringing and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So where and when is that again?
Jeff.
The 24th, 5 to 7 p.m. Yes. Portal Pinball in Ackworth.
All right.
No presents. We're not doing this for our birthday. It's just
no presents. Just come hang out.
You got any gigs? You got any gigs coming up, Ira?
No. Actually, I don't. But Fat Matt's has finally opened back up to music. And
sweet.
It's still one of my favorite places to play.
Is the Blues Bar on Northside still open? Northside Tavern?
It is. Yeah.
A lot of stuff that's it used to just be like a scary parking lot with nothing around it, and now it's just all businesses.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, you want to try to park around there, forget about it.
Oh no, you can't.
Yeah. Uber down there. But Northside is an institution though.
We used to go there when I first moved here, the first couple of years. I would go there and get drunk and have fun and listen to blues, but it was kind of like you'd leave there and like, oh, quick, walk to your car, quick, hurry up, get out of here.
Well, I don't know if you guys know about this, but there's actually a documentary coming out about Northside.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and I'll post about that, and I was interviewed for it.
Sweet. So you're in it.
I'm in it. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, it's great. This guy's done a bunch of other documentaries about stuff around town. He's a really good filmmaker.
Let's have him on here and promote it.
Yeah,
actually, that's not a bad idea. He's a
and
good
also
guy.
The podcast, so it can be on radio.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll let him know about that.
Cool. Well, Ira, appreciate you joining us. It's good to see you again and hear your voice and your contributions.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, and we'll see you for Portal Pinball.
We'll see you for Portal Pinball. You damn straight.
See you Saturday.
This episode is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Euro. I want to thank Atlanta Pizza and Euro, our longtime sponsor, and thank Mike Hall and everyone else at the restaurant. Stop by the restaurant and grab an ice-cold local draft beer like Wicked Weed's Pernicious IPA in cans and Tantrum Brewing's Poems at Midnight Sour Berliner Weisse on tap. If you're a business or corporate client who's looking for a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Euro by calling 770-483-6228. Atlanta Pizza and Euro loves serving their local community of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area, and would like to thank them for all their continued support and business throughout the years. Open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9, closed on Sunday. Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens, in Athens, Georgia, since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
So what do we got in views or snooze this week?
Atlanta final season starts this week on FX. Last season was crazy, but it's good.
It's the last one?
Yeah, this is the final season. I think they filmed them back to back.
Oh, okay.
I didn't finish the last season.
You didn't?
Kind of went off the rails for me.
Got too weird. Yeah.
Season one. So all three of these are going to be a snooze for me.
I'll probably snooze this one.
Yeah, it was good. It was kind of weird because there were so many episodes that didn't have any of the main characters in it.
Yeah,
but
Jen,
this is the final season.
Make me
so
watch
it. Out.
So yeah. It's going to be a views for me.
Los Espookies comes back this week on HBO, season two.
I'm
going to say snooze. I tapped out of that too.
Did you? I enjoyed season one.
I didn't even know there was a season one. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, we talked about it a while ago.
Sounds familiar.
Fred Armisen, isn't it? And that one writer from Saturday Night Live where they play like the Mexican Ghostbusters kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's funny. Anyway, that comes back. And then number three, Quantum Leap reboot starts this week on NBC.
Who's starring in that?
It's the guy from Lost, isn't it?
Raymond Lee.
Asian guy.
I saw a trailer for it during football. It didn't look interesting to me.
Let's get Ernie Hudson.
I liked the old Quantum Leap, though. And if they're doing the same concept.
I don't think it's the guy from Lost, is it?
No.
I don't know who we're playing.
I'm not sure
Lost.
Who it is.
Raymond Lee.
Why couldn't they just get Scott Bakula back again?
He's on the NCIS or whatever.
Oh.
He was in The Lost City.
Oh, The Lost City. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
That recent, yeah.
I might view it.
I'm going to view it just because I was a fan of the old one. And I'd like to see how they keep it going.
It was too quirky. The original one is too quirky to me to remake. I like the cast, and I'm not interested. So it'll probably
no Dean Stockwell.
Yeah,
no.
And they hit all the beats. They hit all the good historical beats pretty much with the first series. It'd be kind of hard to hit a lot of those again.
But they did the last 30 years. There's all kinds of shit they could change over the last 30 years because this whole last chunk has been a big pile of shit.
We're going to leave it to Mohammed Atta and decide not to crash the plane.
That's what I was thinking.
He goes to Wuhan and stops that guy from eating that bat.
It all starts with those towers, though. They fixed that. Everything else is good.
Well, you know, he'd have to fly in. If he leapt into Mohammed Atta, he would have to fly into the building. Because that's what Muhammad Atta did.
I see. He jumps in the gorilla sanctuary and saves Harambe or whatever his name was, and stopped that fork from happening on the multiverse they got going on there.
There's all kinds of things he could end or stop or something. Yeah. But you're saying, Tim, he couldn't not crash into the building? He'd have to do it?
He'd have to, yeah. You have to leap out of him right before.
It's momentum.
Oh, right.
And then D-Day from Animal House would have to meet him in a bar and tell him how well he did on everything.
But what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
What are you watching?
I'm all caught up on your Lord of the Rings show that everybody likes.
Yeah, you don't like it?
Yeah, it's all right.
I like it.
I love it.
I think it's pretty cool.
I love the last episode.
I wish Gandalf weren't a mute.
Yeah.
And he's learning a little.
Yeah, they're really the look, like they went for, I guess, what was his name? John Howe, the original illustrator that did all the stuff for Tolkien in there. And he was like very much so involved in creating all this look. So the looks have some of those old drawings, have some of those, reflect some of that too, which I thought was really cool. They did it in the original Lord of the Rings, but that was more of a building a world. This is kind of like looking into an old picture book, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, the scenery is great. All the CGI and stuff is good. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good show. I like all the acting.
You guys all noped out on House of Dragons, though, huh?
Hell yeah.
No,
I'm on episode 3.
Yeah, I'm still there.
I'm still watching it.
Yeah, but I think your text that you did the other night. I don't think that happened.
No, but she was gonna.
She was gonna, yeah. But he just had some issues.
She didn't diddle her uncle.
Yeah, he couldn't get it up.
Now her best friend is her mother.
Yeah, weirdly enough.
Sounds like West Virginia.
Yeah, hey.
Well, I love the rings, though. Just the beauty of it. I mean, it's like you're watching a movie every single week. Like you said, though, the visuals, the goblins are creepy and scary. That whole scene when he was trying to get out of that pit, that was very like.
So those aren't orcs. Those are goblins.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're goblins.
They're orcs.
No, the orcs are. They work with the goblins, right, guys? Yeah,
they come later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
come. I'm learning as I go here, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, wait a minute. But Neil told me they were goblins. My boss, he's like a Lord of the Rings. He's a Tolkien. He worships at his feet. So the first couple episodes, he was like, I just don't. And I'm a purist and I'm a bleh and I'm a da-da. And now this last episode, he goes, all right, I like it. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I like about House of Dragons?
House of Dragon.
House of Dragons. I mean, why would you pass up marrying a 12-year-old?
Jerry Lee Lewis did it, right?
She was 14.
Oh, I'm sorry.
13, actually, yeah.
But they were getting it on probably since she was 12.
Yeah, probably. Kissing cousins, they were. I don't know. If you're a Targaryen, you should marry a Valyrian, not the Hand of the King's daughter. I mean, come on now. Ugh. I have a feeling he's going to eat it soon, that guy.
The one that's getting the throne.
No, the king.
He's getting the throne poisoning.
Oh, the king. Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems so put upon.
Maggot hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was nasty. I know that's a couple weeks ago, but that was gross as fuck. Hey, you got a cut on your hand and pour these maggots on it.
Did that ever work?
Yes, it worked.
Yeah, they still use that.
That's a real thing.
It eats all the infected flesh and doesn't touch
live
the non-decaying flesh. Yeah.
What do we do now instead of that?
They still do that.
They still do that.
They're bringing it back because it actually worked. That needs to actually work.
It's the only thing that can fight necrosis, and it can eat all of it before it continues to eat you.
Yep.
No. Do flies ever just go ahead and...
They don't last that long. They rotate them out. Okay. They eat till they're full, and then they remove them and put hungry ones in there.
Yeah.
It's gross, but it works. Yeah.
Oh, flesh maggots.
I haven't really watched much of anything else. I finished the Elvis movie. The ending was better than the last 30 minutes was better than the entire film.
You mean the part when he died?
Well, not so much the part when he died, but I thought that the portrayal of the mature Elvis was really very well done. And I like how they transferred to the real footage of Elvis singing. The last time he performed, I believe he did Unchained Melody, and You know, somebody had to hold the microphone for him while he played piano, and he just belted it out. I've seen that before on YouTube, but never really heard it that well.
Just like that final scene where he's eating the peanut butter banana sandwich, though, and just falls over off the toilet.
Yes, and then Ginger gets up, and I really hated Tom Hanks in that, though. It was fucking awful.
Every time he came on the screen, didn't you get mad?
Yeah, and every time he opened his mouth.
Do we put you like to fly?
Elvis, you can't go to Europe. Blah, 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 blah,
didn't
blah,
he seem blah, like he didn't he seem like a caricature that Cartman would do of yes, of him? Yes. Like it wasn't real.
I hope when they do a real season they mock it and have Cartman doing that. Colonel,
that'd be awesome.
Colonel Eric Cartman.
They have probably already written that episode, Tim, I'm sure.
Making Butters Elvis. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. He'll be Smelvis or something. They'll do a little bit of a change.
Just heard the latest news on the radio.
News. And now for the latest news.
We didn't talk about the Emmys this week. I was very disappointed in the Emmys. I looked at all the nominees. It was like some shows, everybody on the show got nominated. And especially the fact that, Better Call Saul, shutout.
Yeah, shutout.
Have they won any at all?
Nope.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
Yep. They'll be eligible next year, though, right?
I know, but...
For this season, yeah.
Yeah.
Succession wins all the fucking time.
I mean, Succession is good, but it didn't deserve all that shit.
Gene Smart was the only one I was happy that won.
Did Tim Robinson win?
Yeah, well, he won in the creative Emmys that they didn't show on TV.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the week before the regular Emmys. But, yes, he did win for I Think It Should Leave.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Well, that's good. I didn't watch it, of course. I was watching football. I didn't really like that game very much.
Well, no, don't worry. No one else did either.
Yeah.
All I know it was the lowest Emmys ever. Lowest rated Emmys ever. And I like the host. I like Keenan. I liked it. I should have watched some of it. But, again, I was watching the football game.
Do you have a thought on Kimmel's? Thing,
not really. I don't want people are mad at him.
I thought it was a joke. I mean, it wasn't a joke. I mean, it's comedy, and yeah, that's what it was. Period.
Yeah, but he did it while a woman of color was accepting an award, so he made it all about him.
Yeah, he didn't know who in the hell was going to win when he went and did it. They didn't tell him beforehand what was in the envelope.
Still, I think he needs to issue an apology. Has he yet? Usually he apologizes.
No, she's on the show, his show tonight, though.
Yeah.
Well, she likes him, and she said it didn't bother her. So that's what happens. The social media just starts shitting themselves.
Yeah.
And
do about nothing.
Right. You know. No, they ain't do it. But she likes Jimmy Kimmel, so it's stupid.
Did you listen to Tim Dillon this week when he was talking about Hillary Clinton's show Gutsy?
No.
Oh, God, Tim. It's like he did it for you.
Really?
You don't have to listen to it.
Well, she said she likes... She was sitting there with Megan Thee Stallion and her daughter, Chelsea. She goes, well, Chelsea liked rap music since she was little, but I didn't get into it until WAP. Well, are you fucking kidding me? WAP. Yeah, Hillary. WAP. What did Tim have to say about it?
Oh, just, you know, basically how most of the women that they have on there are all rich, entitled,
yeah,
you know. It's mm-hmm, like, oh, you're so gutsy. It's easy to be gutsy. And he's like, is there a school teacher from Detroit on there? Maybe a cop from South Central? Like a woman? You know, I mean, none of that shit. No.
Yeah.
But he was just shredding it. And then
I'm going to talk to my rich friends.
And he went on to say that, he goes, I don't care if you graduated from Columbia or you live, you know, whatever, in Astoria and you buy like fancy food at bistros or whatever. He goes, if you watch Gutsy, you're a fucking retard.
And he said that word?
He said it, yes. So you're stupid.
Saying that word.
Stupid. He says it all the time.
I know.
Yeah, the R word's coming back.
I told you.
How could it be
coming back with a vengeance?
I mean, I agree that it's a useful word. And not at all related to, you know, the people that used to be called that. Yeah, I liked him. He's great. The last thing I saw him on was with Bert.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Yeah, that was good.
He bookends the show with the Freedom Rally.
Oh, yeah?
Where he talks about that. And he was like, we always knew the Trump scam would end in a field in Kentucky.
I watched, you guys ever watch Pat McAfee on YouTube, his show?
Mm-mm.
I have once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, he was the kicker for the Indianapolis Colts, and now he's like the dominant person talking about sports, football specifically, or in general, because it's football season. But that's a fun show, man. It's like you take the ESPN or the Fox News, where they have all these, you know, blathering idiots talking about everything and social issues. This guy's just like stoned out of his mind. He's wearing a tank top and a big chain. He's from Pittsburgh, so he has the Yinzer accent, and he says fuck every other word. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like what you wished a sports show would sound like. Yeah.
Right.
Like your friends talking. Yeah.
Yeah, and he has Aaron Rodgers on and a bunch of different different people. And on Monday Night Football this past week, I did watch, instead of watching it on TV or watching it with the regular crew, which now they have Troy and Joe, which anyway, I watched the Manning brothers, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, how they?
Yeah, you haven't watched them before. I always watch them when
I've watched them before.
Have the option to do them.
Yeah, they had Saquon Barkley on this week. It was good. Eli. He just makes fun of his brother the whole time.
Right.
Well, I was so jacked after watching Hard Knocks. I was all pumped up for this season for the Lions, which I still
they
I mean
won that game.
It was tight. It was a good game, I guess. I don't know, but I'm hoping like hell they win the next one.
Yeah, I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Nobody
likes
the Eagles.
Except for Jeff's brother. It's the only Eagles fan I've ever known in real life. Well, except for my family, but I don't really know them.
Well, and you know, the entire cast of Always Sunny.
Yeah, well.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yeah. See, Rob McElhaney's apologizing again.
What did he do?
I just read some. No, he apologizes for the episodes of the show that they don't have on there anymore.
Oh, those are some of the best ones.
Yeah.
Oh, why? Because they're not PC?
Yeah, well, he wants to keep working. He wants to continue his career, so.
Yeah.
They happened. I mean, I don't know why they think that the shows didn't happen. They happened, so.
Took them down. They're not up anymore.
Yeah, you can't get
But
them.
We already saw them. We already you knew did. They happened. Yeah.
And I grabbed them off of BitTorrent because you can't get them, so I want to own them and watch them if I feel
I want to know which ones that they felt were not
The Wiz,
okay.
I guarantee you, is one of them.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I can look at my... downloads here. Shit. God damn it, doesn't have the names. The Gang Recycles Their Trash is one.
What?
Really?
They took that one off for why?
I don't know.
That one makes no sense to me.
America's Next Top Patty's Billboard Model Contest.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was good.
Here's another one. D. Reynolds Shaping America's Youth.
Yeah.
And
when she becomes a teacher,
yeah, oh, yeah, where she's trying to be, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Is it like Dangerous Minds or something?
Yeah,
yeah,
and the other one I don't have that, I don't have the name of it. Probably the one where they direct it's The Wiz, right?
The Wiz, yeah, where they fall asleep with the old, what do they call him, the old black guy,
yeah, don't they have blackface on in that?
Oh, they become black in the mirror, and
yeah,
you know, they don't have blackface on, they just become black.
Okay.
Character.
My God, I remember that. Yeah,
and that's the one where he goes I can say it and they're like, don't say it.
No, don't.
I can't say that was one of my favorite episodes. No, like they got rid of Frank's Little Beauties.
Oh, yeah. That's the best one.
Frank's Little Beauties and the D, whenever D and Charlie take steroids from season two. That's still one of my favorite episodes of all time. I've seen that one probably 25 times.
I like the high school reunion one. It's probably one of my favorites.
Yes. Yeah. Or the wedding, whenever everybody's tripping balls on that
wedding. Yeah.
Punch. Yes.
It was milk.
It was milk, yeah.
With
bath
salts in it.
Yeah. And they're all like zombies. That one's great.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the trailer for season 3 of Mandalorian?
Yes.
Not yet.
I did.
Yeah. It's a cool trailer. There's some Easter eggs in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm going to watch it because I like The Mandalorian and I want to stay in that realm. I'm not going to watch the new show, the whatever the hell it's called, Andorian or whatever.
Andor.
Yeah, isn't that pre New Hope?
It's right before Solo. Right before Rogue One.
That was a good episode.
It's prequel to Rogue One. Yeah.
Okay. I don't need to know any about that. Because I'm watching it going, I guess this guy's dead. Why am I going to watch this?
Yeah. You know how that one's going to end.
Yeah. There's too many. Too many.
You didn't watch Cobra Kai yet, though, right, Tim?
No, I'm going to start that this weekend.
It was a fun little time. I'll be watching. I'm thinking, how many karate battles can I enjoy? I guess all of them. Yeah. Every time. I just wish everything was settled in a karate battle.
Oh, well, yeah.
The way they do
Joe
it.
Joe Biden and Donald Trump fight each other in a karate battle.
That's a pay-per-view I'd pay $300 to watch that.
Really?
Kamala Day.
Old men fighting each other?
Oh, yeah. All I'd right, want to see that.
Put up your legs. Yay.
I still feel like Biden could take him. I don't think Trump's most put a scrapper.
The Mar-a-Lago Kumite.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's frail.
Yeah, he is frail, but I feel like maybe he'd go on muscle memory or something.
Who, Biden? No, he did beat Corn Pop. Biden used to go around beating up black teenagers. He did.
With Mark Wahlberg?
No. Mark Wahlberg, yep, an Asian guy. He did.
He beat up a bunch of black kids.
He beat up a few different.
I'm sure he beat up Irish kids too, but we're not talking about Mark Wahlberg. We're talking about the president of the United States said that he went and got a chain so he could beat up this black kid named Corn Pop.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Well, he says so, but we don't know. We haven't heard Corn Pop's side of the story.
and you never will.
Because he's probably not real. But he did.
Was this in Scranton?
I don't know where it was. Maybe. Nah, probably Delaware. Probably in Delaware. Because the little kids would touch his soft blonde hair on his legs in the pool. And he'd have to wait to get out because.
Stop it.
What?
It only smells hair.
I don't know. His daughter's diary.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm just saying, you shouldn't shower with your family members unless you're married to them.
How old was the daughter when they showered together?
A kid. How old? It was last week.
Well, I didn't know. Like, is she like 12? I mean, what is happening here? I mean, I know that...
showered with your dad like 2 weeks ago.
I did not shower with my dad. Listen, it's all... We're not getting political here, but I mean, it's all out there. You can go find out. Trump said on Howard Stern that he'd bang his daughter if she weren't his daughter. So, I mean, these people are weird. These people are nuts. They're wealthy. And when you're wealthy like that, you have nothing to think about. You think about your family members for some reason. I don't know.
They're all Targaryens.
Wait till you guys watch Reservation Dogs this week.
I watched it.
You watched it already?
Mm-hmm.
With all the governor and stuff?
Oh, yeah. With the fish.
Yep.
Hey, is there already a second season of that Christopher Walken show with Stephen Merchant? Is it out already?
Yeah, it's done.
The second season's done already.
Yeah, well, I think that's it.
All right.
It's already aired?
Yeah. On Prime?
Okay. Were they doing it all at once?
The Criminals? No, it came out like a month or two after the first season.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
I think that's it.
I got a lot to get caught up on. Should stop showering with my daughter and swimming in a pool with little kids who rub my leg hair.
Stop beating up Corn Pop out in the middle of the streets of Lilburn.
He didn't beat him up. He got a chain, the chain that's in the pool thing. All right, I think we got to wrap it up tonight. I want to thank our guest, Ira Malkin, for talking about Better Off Dead on the podcast, which returns tonight on WSB Radio, I think at 9 o'clock. My guests are Marshall Childs. You guys know Marshall Childs?
Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing great. From the Laughing Skull Lounge. They have the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival coming up. And another guest from the show, as I scroll through here really quickly, Jeff Plate from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which is going back out on tour after the pandemic. And everybody likes to go see them during the Christmas season. The Holiday Season, The Ghosts of Christmas Eve, The Best of TSO, and more is in Atlanta Sunday, December 11th at Gas South Arena. So if you're interested in that, check that interview out. And hey, if you are watching this on YouTube, like and subscribe. If you're listening on Spotify, leave us a review and rate us and all that stuff. Even if you're a listener only, please go to the YouTube page and subscribe just so we can get our numbers up and share it with your friends. Follow us on all of our social media platforms. And if you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, you can simply go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Don't forget Portal Pinball Saturday on the 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. Please come and visit us, 3335 Cobb Parkway Northwest in Acworth, Georgia. Check it out at portalpinball.com. Celebrate Steph, Ira, and Jeff, the September birthday bunch, and play some pinball. No wizards allowed, and you can't go on tilt. And by the way, happy birthday, Jeff and Ira. We will talk to you next. How old are you now, Jeff? 53?
53.
Ah, you old fuck. All right. We will talk to you guys next week. So until that time, please remember to give me my $2 and keep it in.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.